Peace be with you, brothers and sisters. May the Lord help us so that we may have the strength so that we can come before the Lord, that our lives will have more opportunity and energy to serve Him. Now this morning, let us take a look at an interesting picture. Let's take a look at the first PowerPoint. Here, what you can see is over 1 million Israelites were encamped on the east bank of the Jordan River. Why did they do that? Why were they doing that in the east bank of the river? Because they were getting ready to cross the river. Let me estimate a total of 60,000 soldiers and over 1 million of elderly men and women. So it was the entire nation of Israel marching before them. So what a spectacular image. Wow. Actually, being the leader, Joshua's heart was extremely heavy. On his shoulders rested on an overwhelming responsibility. Here's an image of what actually was happening at the moment. Just imagine, they have been encamped on the east bank for 3 days already, and they are ever ready to cross the Jordan River. That's why Joshua has a heavy heart. Since 3 days, they have not seen anything happen. They were looking forward to cross the River Jordan. In fact, they were awaiting the order from God to cross the river. Not just their time, but timing of God, when God will order them to cross the river. Now, a lot of us, Bible scholars estimate that at that time, the Jordan was high tide at that very moment. Therefore, its current was very turbulent. And the only tool they had in their hands were ropes. Nothing but ropes. Now, over 1 million people tried to cross the river. It was an impossible task. Yet, Joshua was full of hope. Why? Because Joshua was following Moses. In those times, when he was with Moses, when he was younger, he witnessed with the parting of the Red Sea. If you remember, Moses sent 12 spies into Canaan to see what's going on over there. So 12 spies went over there and came back, and most of them reported it's impossible to fight the Canaanites. They are just too strong, too big, and too powerful. Only 2 spies, one of them Joshua, Caleb was the other one. Only these two spies, they came back and say yes, they came back with faith. They don't look at the surroundings. They don't look at the size of the enemies. They look up at God. They look at the promise that God has for the Israelites. Joshua's and Caleb's faith in God. So at the time when they were encamped on the east bank of the Jordan for 3 days already, and such strong current, Joshua still had strong faith because he hang on to the promise of God that the promised land of Canaan is for the Israelites. Also, in those days when Joshua was following Moses, he personally witnessed the amazing act of God when he parted the Red Sea. You remember when the Israelites left Egypt? The Egyptians were not happy. So the Pharaoh sent his army right behind them, chased after the Israelites to try to recapture them. So of course, so when Moses and his people reached the Red Sea, in front of them was the great Red Sea. And at the back, they have the army of the Pharaohs chasing after them. Just imagine. If you were in their midst, how would you feel? I'm sure you will feel scared. You will feel worrisome. Remember that time? Moses prayed and seeked after God, and he raised the staff that he had in his hands, and that amazing thing happened. Right before their hands, they saw the Red Sea being parted. This morning, I want to share with you this morning, the title of my sermon is Knowing the Power of God. Not only the Red Sea was parted, the Israelites walked across the Red Sea on dry ground. They were walking on dry ground as they crossed the mighty Red Sea. And when they crossed, the army of the Pharaoh raced after them. But after they had crossed the Red Sea, the entire army, the Egyptian army, was drowned in the Red Sea. So we can see God is an almighty God. At the very moment, God will stretch out his hands to save his own people. Because of that, Joshua has this amazing faith in the power of Jesus, of God. Because Joshua knows, he knew that the God that he believed is the one that works miracle, the one that works wonder. So therefore, Joshua gave an order, and it's a very clear-cut order. Let's take a look at chapter 3 of Joshua, and we shall look at verses 1 through 5. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp. Verse 3, giving orders to the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow them. You must follow behind the covenant, but keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits before you enter the ark. Do not go near it, because you do not know the way to go, since you have never been this way before. So Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Tell the priest to carry the Ark of the Covenant when you reach the edge of the Jordan's water. Go and stand in the river. What you can see is when the leaders gave an order, it must be clear-cut orders. It's not like you can press the V-chair and everybody can see it. We are talking a huge number of people. So he has to give his clear orders to all his commanders, to give it out to everyone so that everyone hear it clearly. So they must follow the Ark of the Covenant, but they must set aside a certain distance, not to go too close. So giving clear-cut instructions is of absolute importance, especially one of those words that we read just now. When Joshua says he tell all his commanders, because this is the way that you have not gone before. So remember, this is the younger generations of Israelites that Joshua was leading. For the older generation, they already passed away in the wilderness. So now it's the newer generation. So they are new. And then as we reach verse 5, Joshua told the people that they must consecrate themselves. There are dual meaning to consecration. The first is to outwardly cleanse the garments so that they put on clean garments. And second meaning is internal cleansing. So that means you must have a heart and a correct attitude toward God. So when Joshua tells his people to consecrate, it means it includes external as well as internal consecration. Why? Because tomorrow they are ready to cross the River Jordan. So our God is holy, is God of holiness. So we cannot approach God unless we are also holy. So God must also, people must also respect God, so they must prepare themselves and consecrate themselves so that they can get ready to do battle with the Canaanites. But Joshua with faith, he announced that tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. I wonder if you've ever thought of that. Now, if nothing happened the next day, how embarrassed would Joshua be? As the leader of the people, do you think Joshua will feel so embarrassed that he couldn't stand before them? Yet, Joshua came before them with great faith and declared that God will do amazing things. Not something that the day after, not the things that the following days, but tomorrow, God will do amazing things. He was so convicted that God will do great things tomorrow. So Isaac, he must have received a message from God himself. He must have received this message that God will do a miracle tomorrow. Joshua was so convinced. So I wonder whether you are in the church sanctuary or you are watching online, or whether you are worried about COVID-19, about your work, about your children. May the word of God give you strength, knowing that God is going to be in your life and he will lead you through your River Jordan. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you. I'm sure he must have received a message from God himself. That was why Joshua was so brave that he announced to his people that something will happen tomorrow. So what must the people do? Well, we are talking about the entire nation of Israel were united in one heart, because they know that their future depends totally on God, who will lead them, who will guide them. It's absolute. They depend absolutely on God for his guidance, because God is the true commander-in-chief, and he will lead his own people in the future. Now let's take a look at the second picture, which is even more interesting. How are they going to cross the river? Of course, they need to follow God's order. The Levite priest must take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. Do you know the significance of the Ark? It symbolizes the presence of God. So the priest reverently carried the Ark and ran ahead of the people. So every order that Joshua gave to his people, he received it from God. And therefore, they must completely obey the order of God's order. So every single Israelite at time, they come before God to obey this commandment. Let's look at the picture, and then we understand. Look at the Levite priests. The Levite is a special group of people that God selected to be the priest to serve God. There are about four to six people who carry the Ark of the Covenant, and they will lead the people in the front. So let us take a look at verses 8 through 11. Verse 8 says, "Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of Jordan's water, go and stand in the river." And Joshua says to the Israelites, "Come and hear and listen to the words of the Lord. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, that he will certainly drive out the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Take note of verse 11, when Joshua told the people. Verse 11 says, this is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites. So there are a total of 7 tribes of the Canaanites that God is going to remove them. What you can see, what can you see, brothers and sisters? God went to battle for the Israelites. Now this is the truth taught in the Bible from coward to coward, be it physical warfare or spiritual battle. Let's recap on the history of Israel. Remember the meaning of Jehovah Nissi? What's the meaning of this word Jehovah Nissi? If you remember, it was during the battle with the Amalekites. Moses was up on a hill. He was very old at the time. So he has Aaron and Hur on his sides to help raise up his hands. Why were they holding his hands up? Let's look at Exodus chapter 17, verse 11 to 16. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. 14 says that then the Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven. Moses built an altar and called it, the Lord is my banner. That is Jehovah Nissi. It means Jehovah Nissi means the Lord is my banner. So at the time, our God is the leader, he is the commander in chief, leading his entire chosen race to fight the Amalekites in the battle. And then he destroyed them right in front of them. So he said, because hands were lifted up against the throne of the Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation. On the ground, the Israelites under the command of Joshua, they fought as against the Amalekites. But the real commander of the whole thing is up in heaven. God is their commander-in-chief. God was the one who really defeated the Amalekite army. Because of that, when the battle was over, which means the Lord is my banner. God has fought for me. God has fought for you. The Lord is my banner. No matter what happens in the world, God fights for us. So today we must understand that God not only fights for the Israelites. And think about that. This God of the universe, as long as whenever he acts, victory is guaranteed. When God acts, victory is guaranteed. When God is always on our side to protect us, and he goes to the battle on our behalf. So our enemy today is the devil. He attacks us constantly. He entices us frequently especially our young people. Frankly speaking, on our own, we have no match against them. No matter how big you are, no matter how spiritually strong you are, we have no match. Satan is more powerful than we are, because we are mere human beings. Therefore, we need to depend on our Lord Jesus Christ. We must depend on the God that overcomes death. It's very important. So let's learn to humble ourselves and depend on God and our Lord Jesus Christ to help us through. Therefore, when we have this understanding of the God that we believe in, and we have the kind of strong faith like that of Joshua, we will be able to fight and win battles in our lives. No, Satan will stand no chance before God. Even the sum of all the hatred against Christianity has no fight against God. Now, whoever arouses God's anger is out of luck. He will be met with God's righteous judgment, both personally and collectively. God is going to judge them. The book of Hebrews reminds us, God is the consuming fire. Let's recap some. Let's look at the Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. It's a very important two verses. 20 says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful, and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a God is the consuming fire. God is a consuming fire, brothers and sisters. Remember that our God is the God that will judge. He is a judge of judgment. He is a consuming fire. So if we worship Him and respect Him and lead a holy life, God will be good to us. Verse 28 says, and reminded us, that let us be thankful and worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. It means we have to come and serve God with a true heart. If you have not served the Lord, I encourage you to start serving the Lord. Don't wait until one day when you're sick, when you're old, and you cannot do anything. By the time, it is too late for you to serve the Lord. While you have strength and energy, God has given you a gift to serve Him. So don't waste the talent that God has given you. Come up. Together we can join hands and serve the Lord in our community. We have so many ministries that need help. Children's ministry, our youth ministry. Well, prayer meeting. Join the prayer meeting together. Well, we need help in the kitchen. We have to have someone to prepare meals. And when we need someone to help with our online services, you can help us with a lot of things in church. We need help from brothers and sisters. As long as you are willing to serve, God will use you. May the Lord encourage you. Today, the battlefront that we face today is very different. Satan may intimidate us. He makes us experience anxiety. Sometimes he even convinces us to place our trust on money and politics. And he put up a lot of false news to mislead us. So after a while, you will feel anxious and worrisome. And even worse, when we depend and we put our trust on money and also on the politicians, all this I tell you are the schemes of the devil. He wants us to lose the faith and the peace that God has given us. Therefore, we must have spiritual discernment to tell the difference. We must have the vision to see through his schemes, the devil. At the same time, we must have faith in the Lord, like that of Joshua. Looking back, do you not see God's grace bestowed upon your life? Do you not see how he helped you in difficult moments? when you were about to give up, do you not realize it was God who led you through across the Jordan River of your life? These experiences will help strengthen our faith. So when we look back and see how God has been with us all this while, it will strengthen our faith and become our lessons also for our children to rely on God. So as parents, we have children that look at us. We must also share this strength, strong faith with our kids so that when they grow up, they learn to rely and to trust God and to obey Him. Therefore, you need the wisdom to lead your children, to lead the youth in the church, to come before God with humility, and together we can serve Him. For those who agree, of trials and temptations in life. No one can say that they do not have trials nor temptations, but when we obey God's commandment, we don't have to worry anymore. We will find hope and strength to move forward. We depend on Him to protect us. As long as we follow God's order and move forward, God will lead you. God will guide us through all your difficult moments as long as you follow Him and go move forward. Let's take a look at the next PowerPoint. Now, if you were the priest carrying the ark, how would you feel? Especially if you were one of the Israelites, one of the Levite priests who were carrying the ark. When you look at the water stop flowing downstream, would you be in awe? The moment you step foot onto the River Jordan, you will see God's miracles work right in front of your eyes. The water stopped flowing downstream. In fact, over a million people witnessed that miraculous parting of the Jordan. What they saw was the river pile up in a heap right before their eyes. It was an incredible sight. But then, on the end, the water keep on flowing, and yet it just go up. It looks like a very tall wall of water. That's how the scripture describes it. Verse 16 says, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Edom in the vicinity of Zaratan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. In that, it was in the scripture, it says very clearly. Yeah, the water from upstream, it was really turbulent when it came down. So when it was flowing downward, it was very strong. And then, it suddenly stopped flowing. The scripture says it piled up in a heap. It looks like as if a wall was standing right before the water to stop it from continuing flowing. Wow, that was amazing. At least 3-4 stories higher. The description in the Bible was very clear. I must highlight that there were over a million people together looking at this miraculous parting of the Jordan. And after that, they walk across dry ground. Just imagine how excited were the Israelites at that moment, because they personally experienced the power, the great power of God. At that very moment, at that time, God manifests His power and is to save his own people, the Israelites, to lead them to cross the river Jordan. Praise the Lord. Thank you. This is the God that we trust in. So today, every Christian, no matter where you are at this moment, we must believe that our God is one that does marvelous deeds, because he redeems us in his own way and in his own timing. And all we need is obey and trust him and follow him. In that way, we will know, we will experience God ourselves. Let's take a look at verse 17. What can we see here? The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by until the whole nation completed the crossing on dry ground. We saw the ground, the riverbed of Jordan, it was dry ground. And the priest who carried the Ark stood on dry ground to wait for all the Israelites to cross the river. So they waited there until all the people of Israel crossed the river. So just imagine, if you were the Israelite, if you were the Levite priest, do you think you still have to continue to have faith? Don't forget, those priests, they were the first to step foot on the waters, and they were the last to get out. What lesson can we take away from this picture? Today, church leaders must lead by example. They must be fervent in their service till the very end. Yeah, this is a wonderful, timely reminder of our service before the God, before Lord. And we knew that Israelites must be very excited, because it was their first leap of faith into the promised land of Canaan, that is crossing the Jordan River. That's their first step. Now they have crossed the river. So right there, they experienced the very power of God. It was like a shot in the arm for them. Of course, they realized the situation before them. Because after they crossed the river, their enemies were the seven tribes of the land of Canaan. And they would have to engage them head on. Yet, crossing the Jordan en masse in such a fashion has helped them to strengthen their faith in God. Because God provides the direction, yet man must also follow. We have to react to God's guidance. So it's not as simple as that. You must understand that this true faith, there is something that as our responsibility, we must do our part. We do our part right, God will take care of the rest. This is the truth. Dear brothers and sisters, today, what is the obstacle in your life? Is there a Jordan River that is hindering you from crossing? I beseech you to seek the name of God in prayer. Come before him in petition and trust him to provide you a way out, for he has compassion over you. He will help you because he is your Abba Father and you are his children. And he says he will forever love you. Praise the Lord. Thank you. So we must learn this lesson well. We must learn how to give everything and all our burdens to God. I want you to understand this. Chapter 3 of Joshua is more than just a record of river crossing. It has a greater meaning behind it. Most important of all, God wants to demonstrate his glorious undertaking. He wants to show you that he cares for his people, and he is the one true God. and he's the one who keeps his promise. So God wants all the people to understand only God, he is the one true living God. If you remember Joshua said in verse 10, chapter 10, verse 10 says, this is how you will know that the living God is among you. See, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Observe that. But in your midst, there is a living God. The ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. What can you see? And what does it mean? What Joshua is trying to tell them is, he reassured them that God that we believe is the ever-living God. Why, at that very moment, Joshua gave them such an important announcement? He wanted to remind them. He wanted to remind this younger generation that the God that we believe in is the same God of their forefathers. He is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is their God from everlasting to everlasting. Because he's also the one and only one true God. But more than that, he has a relationship with every human being. For that reason, he dwells within each one of us. Let me repeat that. God has relationship with every human being, with every human's life. He has the relationship with each one of us. How? First, you must know the living God. If you don't know him, how are you going to receive this everlasting life? It's very simple. So it helps us to, when we evangelize, we tell people the gospel. This is one point we can base on. When we went to Lexington, I asked them, it's good that we study the Bible. Yeah, we study the Bible from cover to cover. It's wonderful. But it's not just merely reading the Word of God. Yeah, that's too bad. We just read and read and keep on reading. Now, reading is not enough. We must practice what is being taught in the Bible. So whatever we learn from the Word of God, we must use it in our lives. We must take every opportunity. We must grab it and then we go out and share with your friends, with your people that you met in. Otherwise, we're just merely reading and nothing else. So we become scholars of the Bible, but we don't know how to make use of the teachings of the Bible to share the gospel with people. So how are we going to be the soldiers of God? Soldiers are to go to the battlefront, not just stay in your room and then read the Bible alone. If the church is like that, that church will not grow. It will never, never grow as soldiers of Christ. Look at Christ, look at Jesus when he took his disciples into all the places. Jesus' disciples, they reach out to the community. So you must also reach out to your friends, to your neighbors. Use the wisdom from God to pray for them, to pray for yourself, asking God to give you the ability to share with your neighbors, with your friends, about Jesus Christ. So you must establish certain relationship with the people that you reach out to. Then you slowly, a little bit by a little bit, you share the gospel with them. Then you will realize that through those relationships being built, you will know more about them, and then you can use the teachings of the Bible to reach out to the needs that's in the depth of your heart. Please do not be someone who just stay in your home and read the Bible and do nothing else. You must learn from the Bible and then sow the seeds of the gospel and reach out to more people. So let's continue to read. What can you see here? For someone who does not know God at all, or does not know how to depend on the living God, they lose a lot they lose out a lot. They lose out a lot of blessings because you never know what will happen tomorrow. The book of Hebrews says that nobody can tell what will happen the next day. There is uncertainty that worries us. And of course, please do not be anxious about what happens tomorrow. We have the Word of God, the God from the Old Testament to the New, the true living God. Why should we be afraid of? Just do what God has commanded us to do. And then with that, we know that so that we can be effective in serving in the church. So we can do discipleship reading, leading some new believers to come to know more about the teachings of the Bible. And then you can encourage those new Christians to join in the team to serve in church. So that's how we train more and more disciples for the Lord. So you have to at least try doing it. Now sometimes I'm thirsty trying to explain to you. You have to go out and try to bring in more people and explain to them what you have learned from the Bible. On the other hand, for someone who knew God and he also know how to obey and trust God, if you are the type of person, your life will be a blessed life. In your entire life, God, you will continue to experience the wonders of God. If there are all kinds of problems in life, all those what we call so-called the Jordan River kind of obstacles, God will guide you as you cross them one by one. The Lord Jesus says, don't be afraid, just believe. That's what the Lord says. Don't be afraid, just believe. So if we have chosen, I'm sure if you have chosen to obey God, that's the most important decision that you've made. For God says, His thought is higher than our thoughts. So if you have said that His thoughts are higher than our thoughts and His ways are higher than ours, brothers and sisters, my life of 30 years in the ministry is an attestation of abundant grace. Today's sermon title is Knowing the Power of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let us pray together. The Heavenly Father, we thank you for the chronicle of Joshua. It reminds us to trust and obey your leadership. No matter what obstacles lay before us, we truly believe that you will provide a way out of hardship. For your love and help, we give thanks that you will guide us through. We thank you for your everlasting love for us. Therefore, we have decided to follow Jesus as we thread through this way of blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's time for the offering. By now, I'm sure you are aware that we do not pass the offering bag in the sanctuary. Therefore, we have prepared an offering chest at the back of the church. And you may drop your check into the box, or you may mail your check to the P.O. box that we have. I encourage you to turn to your bulletin. September's offering collected was 9,032, and the total offering collected for the entire year is 154,574. So we praise God for His providence, so that we will not be in need. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we can come together to worship you. We must also thank you for your amazing and abounding grace. Not only bodily needs, but also as well as physical needs and everything that you provide for us. Allowing us to live while living in this world that we do not lack in anything. Lord, we thank you. May you encourage all brothers and sisters to worship you and to give accordingly. Not only just giving of their time and their finances, but also giving their whole body to you. We give thanks and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I give the benediction, I want to ask you a question. Do you feel blessed when you come to church? During the weekdays, I always look forward to coming Sunday when I can be with all brothers and sisters. I see some faces like Brother Dongfa and Anita comes from Yitao. I felt so enjoyable being with you together. Please rise.